Stories like this are made possible by listeners like you. Become a member now at KUNM.org.
This is KUNM. I'm Chris Boros. This week is Sunshine Week. It's kind of like journalism's special holiday when reporters and editors across the country celebrate government transparency and access to public information. KUNM has been using public documents to investigate a plume of poisonous chemicals that has been moving in the groundwater underneath two neighborhoods in Albuquerque for at least several decades. Public Health New Mexico's Ed Williams is here to tell us a bit about that investigation. Hey, Ed, thanks for being here.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. Glad to be here.
So you've been working on this story for a good 6 months now, or maybe a little longer. Can you give us a quick recap of, you know, what you found?
Well, back in the 90s, state environment department workers were taking groundwater samples in Albuquerque over near where Tractor Brewing Company is today, which is in the Wells Park neighborhood just north of downtown. And they found a chemical called TCE in the ground, which is a really dangerous solvent that causes cancer and birth defects. At that point, they didn't know where it was coming from, but a few years later, they traced it to a chemical distributor called Lawn Dry Supply Company over on 12th Street. Then in 2005, the state ordered the company to develop a cleanup plan to get the chemicals out of the ground, but that process ended up stalling out, which left people that were living and working near the plume at risk of exposure to TCE. But hardly anyone living there knew there was any risk at all.
So how would these people living there be exposed?
Through the air. These chemicals evaporate underground and come into homes and buildings as gas. And until we reported on the plume, nobody had done an investigation into the health risks of people living nearby. And in the past few months, the company has submitted a full cleanup plan to the Environment Department, and they're now testing homes for chemicals with state supervision. And the Environment Department's been proactive since the story aired, too. There's a new Groundwater Bureau chief there who's held meetings on the plume at neighborhood associations and at city and county water meetings.
Now, I've heard you guys in the newsroom talking about IPRAs and spreadsheets. So can you explain how you actually use these public documents to do the reporting on the story?
Sure. We leaned heavily on public documents for the story. We initially found the story by looking at the active state cleanup sites, which you can download on the Environment Department's website. Those documents showed there was an unresolved chemical spill, but didn't have much more information. So then we requested more records to get the hard data using the Inspection of Public Records Act, the IPRA, and that gave us environmental site assessments, monitoring well measurements, and emails from the Environment Department employees. And those documents showed us just how bad the contamination really was and gave us a good foundation to start writing some stories.
Yeah, but the Environment Department sent you an email saying there were errors in the coverage. They say you got some things wrong. Were they right? Did you get anything wrong?
No, we didn't get anything wrong. We took some time, though, and went through all of the items on their list, and we confirmed that there were no inaccuracies in any of our reports. I mean, they said that we were wrong to report that nobody had investigated the health risks of the plume, but until testing began in homes last month, they hadn't looked at the health risks for people living nearby at all. And there are some other things, too, and we've posted all of it and our response on our website. And they also asked us to take down the map of the plume that we created as part of that.
Are you going to take it down?
No. There's nothing inaccurate about the map. My colleague Rashad Mahmood created it with the Environment Department's own data, but we didn't put all of our methodology online, so the department couldn't really figure out how we made the map, and all of that information is online now, so if anyone wants to go recreate it themselves, they can. And we've also put up all our source documents, emails, environmental assessments from the spill, stuff like that. All the things we got through public records requests is online as well, and we really think, this is a big story, so it'd be great if other outlets started to report on it as well.
So what's next with this?
Well, unfortunately, things have gotten a lot more difficult as our coverage has continued here. When we started reporting this story, the Environment Department was pretty open to talking with us. But in recent weeks, they've blocked us from communicating with any of the people in the department who could help keep the public informed. I mean, we want to see the company's cleanup plan. We want to know what they've found in the air testing of homes. And we want to know whether they're testing enough homes to get a comprehensive answer about risk. And, I mean, we're in radio. We'd prefer to do taped interviews with the Groundwater Bureau staff. They're the ones who really know what's going on. But now we're having to file public records requests for every bit of information, and the state is responding slowly. And let me reiterate, this is public information. It belongs to the public. I mean, at the end of the day, the bottom line is this. This is a story about real risks to public health in the Sawmill and Wells Park neighborhoods and risks that have not been fully assessed. And we have a responsibility to tell that story, and we're going to keep covering it into the future.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
That's KUNM's Ed Williams. You can find the email from the Environment Department with their list of concerns, along with KUNM's response and all the background documents on our website, KUNM.org.